Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have several net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we still have a temperature of about 81 degrees, and I think our high was only about 82. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, you know, that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday this week, last week, this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? All right, hearing that, like I always say, it looks like none of us are getting any older. But unfortunately, myself had a birthday this week, so I actually got a little older. My birthday was yesterday, but I had a very, very nice day. And I hope everyone has a nice day if they have a birthday. So actually, this is called the Monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise you, if you've talked this evening, if you've been part of this session tonight, we always record the sessions. You'll be part of that recording. So our program this night, this evening, is about RF exposure, and I believe the new ruling that took effect May the 3rd. So hopefully you'll enjoy it, but with all that said, I'm going to throw it over to KY6V so he can begin the program this evening. KY6V, are you all ready?
Well, I think so. Thank you, Kathy. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the May TIN. This is Gordon, KY6V. And tonight we'll be discussing what the FCC rules pertaining to RF exposure are all about. The information presented here tonight is mostly from publications created from both the ARRL and the FCC. I'm going to be frank that we have found that the subject is documented in just reams of articles on the Internet. It's very comprehensive. It's very time-consuming to read through and to understand it all. So therefore, we've chosen tonight to highlight the important facts and particularly concentrate on the entering of the survey information you need for your records. By using the graphs available, the task is quite simple and straightforward. So with all that said, let's get things started here by calling on our first narrator, and that's Dave, W8SZL in Wales. How say you, David, from KY6V? Over.
Yeah, thank you, Gordon. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, Dave in Newport over in here in South Wales. And firstly, I'd like to wish Miss Sunshine there, a happy belated birthday. Now, this is all to do with the updated radio frequency exposure rules, which become effective on May the 3rd. Now, the FCC has announced that rule changes, detailed in a lengthy 2019 report and order, governing RF exposure standards, go into effect on May the 3rd, 2021. The new rules do not change existing RF exposure, that's RFE limits, but do require that stations in all services, including amateur radio, be evaluated against existing limits, unless they are exempted. Now, for stations already in place, that evaluation must be completed by the 3rd of May 2023. Now, after May the 3rd of this year, any new station or any existing station modified in a way that's likely to change its RFE profile, such as a different antenna, or placement, or even greater power, will need to conduct an evaluation by the date of activation or change. Now, in the RF report and order, the Commission anticipated that few parties would have to conduct re-evaluations under the new rules, and that such evaluations will be relatively straightforward. Now, the FCC said in an April 2nd public notice, it nevertheless adopted a two-year period for parties to verify and ensure compliance under the new rules. Now, the amateur service is no longer categorically excluded from certain aspects of the rules, as amended, and licensees can no longer avoid performing an exposure assessment simply because they are transmitting below a given power level. For most amateurs, the major difference is the removal of the categorical exclusion for amateur radio, which means that ham station owners must determine if they either qualify for an exception or must perform a routine environmental evaluation, said Greg Lapin, November 9 Golf Lima, chair of the ARRL RF Safety Committee and also a member of the FCC Technological Advisory Council, the TAC. Let me just reset. Ham stations previously excluded from performing environmental evaluations will have until May the 3rd, 2023 to perform these. Now, after May the 3rd, 2021, any new stations, or those modified in a way that affects RF exposure, must comply before being put into service, Mr. Lapin said. The December 29 RF report and order changes the methods that many radio services use to determine and achieve compliance with FCC limits on human exposure to RF electromagnetic fields. The FCC also modified the process for determining whether a particular device or deployment is exempt from a more thorough analysis by replacing a service-specific list of transmitters, facilities, and operations for which evaluation is required with the new streamlined formula-based criteria. The RNO also addressed how to perform evaluations where the exemption does not apply and how to mitigate exposure. Amateur radio licensees will have to determine whether any existing facilities previously excluded under the old rules now qualify for an exemption under new rules. Most will, but some may not. The ARRL laboratory staff is available to help amateurs to make these determinations, and if needed, perform the necessary calculations to ensure their stations comply. ARRL Laboratory Manager Ed Hare, Whiskey 1 Romeo Foxtrot India, who helped prepare ARRL's RF Exposure and U-Book, explained it this way. The FCC did not change any of the underlying rules applicable to an amateur radio station and their evaluations, he said. The sections of the book on how to perform routine station evaluations are still valid and usable, especially that many charts of common antennas at different heights. Hare said, ARRL lab staff also would be available to help amateurs understand the rules and evaluate their stations. Just let me reset. Now the book, RF Exposure and You, is available for a free download from the ARRL. The ARRL also has an RF safety page on its website. The ARRL RF Safety Committee is working with the FCC to update the FCC's AIDS for following human exposure rules. That's OET Bulletin 65 and OET Bulletin 665 Supplement B for radio amateurs. Now, in addition, the ARRL is developing tools that all hams can use to perform exposure assessments. I wonder if anybody has got any questions or comments on the above. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. If so, please give your call signs now. Okay, no comments or questions at this point in time. Okay, now at this point, allow me to turn it over to the Chief, W4RSJ over there in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, for some more information. Over to you, Chief.
Okay, Petrified One, this is W4RFJ in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, and we're going to continue with tables using far-field formulas. Most amateurs will use various tables to estimate compliance distances for MPE limits. MPE stands for Maximum Permissible Exposure. The simplest of these tables was developed using a far-field equation and assuming ground reflection of electromagnetic waves from the RF source. This model, although simplified, has been verified to be a reasonable approximation against a number of dipole, ground plane, and Yagi antennas based on computer modeling, and we'll see this later in the discussion. And this was carried out by the ARRL. The ARRL reports that this model does not necessarily apply to all antenna types. Computer models of small HF loops, for example, yield RF fields very near the antenna that are much higher than the far field formula predicts. In most cases, however, the tables derived from this far field approximation give conservative results that over-predict exposure levels. Let me grab a nickel. Oops. Tables 4A and 4B are probably the easiest tables of the tables to use. They are followed by a number of tables based on specific antenna types, and the first step an amateur should take is to select the simple table that best applies to your station and determine the estimated compliance distances for the relevant operating bands. If a compliance distance is less than the actual distance to an exposure location, the station passes and the evaluation is complete. It can be that simple. Remember that these distances are for the absolute distance from the antenna at any angle. Also remember that the FCC limits are exposure limits, not emission limits. Therefore, if high RF levels are present at a given location, but no one will be exposed at that location, this does not mean the station is out of compliance. Let me grab another nickel. Tables derived from NEC modeling, in many cases, actual exposure below an antenna can be significantly less than that indicated by the tables based on far-field considerations. If a station passes using the far-field tables, this could be a moot point. Although some licensees may still need to demonstrate actual predicted exposure levels, there are no easy answers to actual near-field predictions for actual antennas over real ground. The ARRL has, however, used numeric electromagnetic code, also known as NEC4, antenna modeling software to predict fields from a number of actual antennas and ground conditions. The results are summarized in a series of tables. These tables are located in Section 4 of the RF Exposure Supplement. Beginning with Table 18, amateurs who desire a more accurate estimate of the RF fields expected near their antennas are encouraged to refer to this section. Let me grab a nickel. In many cases, a station that may not pass based on worst-case predictions could easily be shown to be in compliance using these tables. The ARRL tables offered in this supplement are only a few examples of a large number of tables prepared by that organization using this method. As far as antenna modeling, the same methods used to derive the NEC model tables can be applied to any antenna situation. Amateurs are known to use many unique and varied types of antennas, and it is not possible to develop tables for every possible antenna type or combination. Some amateurs may want to evaluate the effect of multiple antennas or other conductors in proximity to their antennas in order to have a more accurate estimate of exposure than could be obtained from other calculated methods. For example, many amateurs may wish to use antenna modeling software for this purpose. Many antenna modeling programs are based on NEC or mini NEC analysis. These programs often yield very accurate results. An amateur enters his or her antenna dimensions and ground characteristics into the antenna model, and the program is then executed to calculate electric and magnetic field strengths near the antenna. These programs do require some amount of user skill, but the average amateur should not experience too much difficulty in using them. The ARRL webpage maintains a list of software vendors who sell antenna modeling software, and that can be found at http://www.arrl.org/news/RF safety. All right, does anybody got any questions concerning what I just covered? Please call W4RFJ. Okay, hearing none, it's now time to move on to the Sheriff of Nottingham, George NO70. It's over to you, sir. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Oh, W4RFJ and the Scars Thursday, May 2021 PIN, George NO70 in beautiful downtown Nottingham Forest, Maryland. And I want to let every birthday person here, and so far I see Kathy, K6SUN, and Robert, VK2DY, and I want to let them know that the Nottingham Forest Animal Birthday Choir has already come in and sung happy birthday and moved on to get their layers ready before sunset here. All right, so once again, good evening, and I know that Chief asked for any questions, but at this time I do want to also just ask if there might be anyone who would like to just call in to say hello, check into the net, say hi, let us know you're here, let us know there's somebody on your side of the microphone. So let me open it up for just for any check-ins to tonight's TIN. Please call now with your call. This is NO70. Over.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo.
Whiskey Alpha 3, Lima X-ray Delta.
Kilo Delta Niner, November Delta Juliet.
Maybe 4, Oscar, Victor India.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee. Good morning.
Mike Mike 3, Oscar Yankee Lima. Good morning.
Well, that is a very nice group of check-ins. Welcome to all of you. And I'm going to go ahead and just let you exercise your RF exposure discretion very quickly here by a return call to you, each of you real quick, and then we'll continue with the information about RF exposure tonight. VE7, Papa Golf Kilo, good evening, sir. How are you and how's things there? This is NO70, over.
Oh, everything's hunky-dory here in Prince George, British Columbia, Canada. Sitting at, 18 degrees Charlie, which is, I don't know what that works out to. Ah, it must be close to 65, I think, 64 Foxtrot, so that Gordon will have a laugh out of that. Happy birthday, Kathy. Anyways, we'll turn it back over to the net. VE7, Papa Golf Kilo.
V3 Papa Golf Kilo, NO70 on the South Cars TIN. Well, thank you for being here for the TIN, and good evening, and that sounds like a delightful evening there. All right, let me say hello next to Whiskey Alpha 3 Lima X-ray Delta, and good evening. How are things in your neck of the woods? Over.
Well, greetings to all on the net, and happy birthday, Kathy. Things are doing good. I lost track of the time, came in late, but I guess better late than never. Looking forward to the rest of the program, and thanks to all the presenters and all the hard work that goes into putting this together. So back to you, George.
WA3LXT, NO70, well, good evening, Dave, and thank you again for being here and for checking in with us and exercising the privilege of our ham radio license to help us know, let everyone know we're here. So good evening to you. Kilo Delta 9, November Delta Juliet. Good evening. Welcome to the Sidecar CIN, NO70. Over.
Good evening, and greetings to all in Nottingham Forest there. This is Ken in Rantoul, Illinois, East Central Illinois. We've had a very warm day here after a bunch of rain, and I don't usually do the Thursday Information Net, but I'm very interested in this topic, so I thought I'd drop in. This is KD9, November Delta Juliet. Back to the net.
KD9NDJ, NO70, on the South Cars TIN for May 2021. And thank you for being here, Ken. That's a pleasure to have you, especially since you have made the effort for this to be one of your one-time occasions being here. Hopefully you'll come back a little more often so we can say hello to you a little more often. But thank you for being here tonight. Really appreciate that. We break with you. KD4OVI, welcome to the South Cars TIN, NO70, over.
Thank you very much. This is KD4, Oscar Victor India here. I was wondering, are we going to discuss any measurement external to the antenna system that you have outside of your chest? Is the right instrumentation that might be required to do a very accurate radiation monitoring situation? That's an interesting subject also for tonight's next. KD4, Oscar, thank you, and you're back in the control.
KD4OVI on the South Cars TIN, NO70. Pete, I think I heard you ask the question, audio was a little bit low, of whether we'll be covering the idea of maintenance, especially if the RF exposure limits are outside of the range. Was that a question you asked, sir? KD4OVI, NO70, over.
Well, I'm coming to you from the measurement, other than computerized measurement that you can use to accurately obtain the exposure that the antenna system is projecting you on ground level. Over.
All right. Oh, thank you, Pete. KD4VI on the South Cars TIN, NO70. Actually, and seems in most cases within our radio service, the radiation doesn't require the purchase of the rather expensive equipment necessary for direct measurements of that. In most cases, it appears that the RF exposure is within limits as demonstrated by the calculations, which I'll be covering in the next section regarding the RF exposure modeling software and some other factors. So that will be covered with FCC Bulletin 65. Well, so we'll come back to that. So thank you for asking. Let me break with you, Pete, and go over to VK2DY down under there. Must be getting a little bit on the chilly side down there right now. I think you said it was pretty cold last weekend. VK2DY, welcome to the South Cars TIN, NO70. Over.
Yes, good morning. This is Robert Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee in Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. Yeah, it's 11.7 degrees Celsius here right now, which is, 53 Fahrenheit. We've had days where it's dropped below 40 Fahrenheit. It's been as low as 3.6 degrees Celsius. So that is cold for Sydney. We rarely get below freezing. So to get down that close is cold. But it's warmed up a little bit at nights now. So we're about at normal for this part of late autumn. other than that, my birthday's on the 25th, so another birthday coming soon. And what else? Oh, yeah, and welcome to what the rest of the world does to American hams. Surprisingly, that you guys have avoided it for all these years. But at any rate, good to see that you've joined the rest of us. VK2DY, back to net.
VK2DY on the sidecar is TIN-NO70. Well, Robert, that's a good point. But, yep, we've come to see the RF light. What can I say? I appreciate, I love that comment. And 11.7 or centigrade or even 2 centigrade. That's still on the chilly side, it seems. So hang in there. Hope you have that adorable, great sweater on. All right, let me break with you. Mike3, Oscar, Yankee, and I should remember that call. I'm sorry I don't. So please fill that in. Remind us of your name again. And welcome to the South Cars May 2021 TIN. Mike3, Oscar, Yankee, NO70. Over.
Okay, November Oscar 7 Oscar, that's a very good call sign. You could tell me how you got that and what the purpose of that one is. You get very unique call signs. I've had a few call signs. I'm on HF actually. I've got a cobweb antenna for Nikon 7300 for HF. And I've had some very, very good call signs, very unique. If I can remember, I've had the CES, which is a unique call sign. What was the other one? I can't remember, they're on my logbook, but some very unique call signs, interesting call signs and interesting special event stations as well. Mike3, Oscar Young Kilimanjaro. No, I'm just, I'm going to go 73, it's 12, it's, hang on, Alexa, what time is it?
The time is 12:30 a.m.
My Amazon Echo has just told me it's 12:30 a.m., so I'm wondering how you came across that call sign, and I won't radio back in after you're over because I'm going to go 73, so I'm just listening for a bit, and then I'll go to sleep. Okay, Mike3, Oscar Yankee Lima, off and clear.
Well, thank you for the check-in, Andrew. Mike3, Oscar Yankee Lima, NO70, to you asked, I believe, how I came across this call sign of Nancy Ocean 7 Ocean, NO70, 2 letters, 1 number, 1 letter. Well, Andrew, the FCC computer assigned it to me when I upgraded from my old advanced class license of N7 GQM to extra class, and the paperwork went in. The call sign I wanted at the time was the one right before mine in the sequence, ending with the with the N Nancy instead of O. But you know what? Over time, I think I got the better call sign after all. It does pose some interesting problems with amateur radio license plates, though, because it reads NO 70, and people that are not familiar with FCC call signs think I'm expressing an opinion about the speed limit, which is a very delicate subject in the United States. So more than a few honks and other events of some stories not in place for telling tonight. So thank you for asking. All right, I see we have a couple more people, including recent members that have come on. I know we need to return to the TIN, but I do want to make sure everyone feels welcome to the South Cars TIN. Let me open it up for one last round of quick check-ins, and we will return back to the topic of tonight's TIN. We always like on any TIN to make sure that we recognize the participation of our South Cars stations and guests. So one last time for quick round of check-ins for anyone who wants to say hello, please call now. This is NO70. Over.
Kilo Oscar 4 Papa Golf Papa checking in. You're my first contact.
Ned recognizes Kilo Oscar 4, Papa Golf Papa, first contact. What a pleasure. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to let you know that we're glad to have you here and invite you to have a free lifetime membership to South Cars. We'll cover that a little bit later, so please stay in with us. And I saw Kilo Charlie 3, Romeo Lima November pop up on the screen, but no audio. I'll put you down the check-in list. Let me take these two stations, and then we will return to the TIN material tonight regarding RF exposure and the FCC new requirements that took effect and how that we can fulfill those FCC requirements. But first, let me ask everyone of the South Cars family to join me in extending to Kilo Oscar 4, Papa Golf Papa, and maybe you could remind me of your name. Welcome to the South Cars TIN, and thank you for allowing our conference and our stations to be your first contact. What a pleasure. KO4, Papa Golf Papa, this is NO70. Welcome, over to you.
This is Lisa at Kilo Oscar 4 Papa Golf Papa, and thank you. I'm friends with Lori and Johan, and they told me all about you. Over.
Oh, Lisa. Oh, yes. I was here when they joined our South Cars family, and I've been looking for your check-in. Welcome aboard. Let me ask quickly if your email address is current on QRZ, if you could type it into the text box, and also type into the text box the month and date of your birthday in American format, month first, date second. Don't need the year, don't put that in, just month and day, and type in your email address, and we will get you signed up with your free lifetime South Cars membership. I'll copy Lisa, KA4 Papa Golf Papa, NO70, over.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I'll be happy to text that over to you right now. Kilo Oscar 4, Papa Golf Papa, out.
Wow, good form. We're going to look forward to having you as a part of our family, Lisa. Thank you so very much. And welcome to being the newest South Cars member here. All right, let me move on to the last check-in, and then we will return to the TIN topic for this evening of RF exposure regulatory guidelines. Kilo Charlie 3, Romeo Lima November, if I saw correctly in the marquee. Are you there? This is NO70. Over.
Yeah, affirmative, we're here. Kilo Charlie 3, Romeo Lima November. We were having some technical difficulties, but I think we've gotten everything straightened out now. We look forward to the net. And good to hear from everybody out here. This is KC3, RLN returning.
Kilo Charlie 3, Romeo Lima November, Sean, NO70. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And it's a pleasure to have such a nice list of check-ins and participants tonight as well. And Chief, thank you. She said before RFJ, my Elmer, he has taught me a lot about Raspberry Pis, edible and non-edible. Thank you, Chief. And how to gather those Raspberry Pis out of the forest. Okay, raspberries out of the forest. All right, very good. So welcome to each and every one of you. All right, with that, let's return to the TIN topic of May 2, 2021 regarding the FCC bulletin and RF exposure limits. And as we heard GW8SZL say earlier in the program, that the amateur service is no longer categorically excluded from certain aspects of the rules, and licensees can no longer avoid performing an exposure assessment simply because they are transmitting below a given power level. We now have to do measurements or calculations that may substitute to be able to prove that we are within RF exposure guidelines. So let me reset, and we will continue with the topic of RF exposure regulations and what we have to do now as a result of the new effective date and adoption of those rules. This is NO70 resetting. So once again, you are participating this evening, and for the purpose or of those on the podcast that may be listening, that will be posted tomorrow by Gordon or within the next day or two on our website. You are participating now in the South Cars Thursday Information Net from May 2021, dealing with RF exposure guidelines, assessments, and satisfaction of the FCC requirements. And we're going to look at those requirements and how we fulfill them through FCC Bulletin 65 guidance. In general, the information contained in Bulletin 65 and in the supplement is intended to enable the applicant or amateur to make a reasonably quick determination as to whether proposed or existing amateur stations are in compliance with exposure guidelines, and if not in compliance, the steps that can be taken to bring it into compliance. Bulletin 65 and this supplement include information on calculation methods, tables, and figures. These methods, tables, and figures can then be used to determine compliance. In addition, amateurs are encouraged to consult Section 4 of Bulletin 65 that deals with controlling exposure. In some cases, that is, some multiple emitter locations, such as amateur repeater sites and multi-transmitter contact-style stations, measurements or a more detailed analysis may be required. In that regard, the part of Section 2 of Bulletin 65 dealing with multiple transmitter sites, and also Section 3 of Bulletin 65 dealing with measurements and instrumentation, provide basic information and references. The new FCC limits for exposure incorporate two tiers of exposure limits based on whether exposure occurs in an occupational or controlled situation, or whether the general population is exposed or exposure is in an uncontrolled situation. Resetting. A detailed discussion of the guidelines and adopted limits are included in Bulletin 65, as mentioned in the FCC's recent report and order. Certain amateur radio installations were made subject to routine evaluation for compliance with the FCC's RF exposure guidelines effective January 1, 1997. This date was later extended. Section 597.13 of the Commission's rules and 47 CFR Code of Federal Regulations, paragraph 97.13, require the licensee to take certain actions before causing or allowing a station to transmit from any place where the operation of the station would cause human exposure to levels of RF fields that are in excess of the FCC guidelines. The licensee must perform the routine evaluation if the transmitter power of the station exceeds the level specified in 47 CFR paragraph 97.13C1 and repeated in table 1.6. Now, I know that's a lot of numbers and federal regulations and so forth. May I please remind my fellow stations that it is a requirement of our license that we be familiar with this particular section of Code of Federal Regulations. Amateurs may use the optional worksheet shown in Appendix B of the supplement to help in determining whether a routine evaluation is required. And I believe, if I understand correctly, that there will be a posting of the calculation webpage in the text box, if I may ask for assistance from Florida to post that website. Let me reset. Now, all mobile amateur stations are categorically excluded from this requirement. Such mobile stations are presumed to be used only for very infrequent intermittent two-way operation. They are, however, required to comply with the exposure guidelines. Otherwise, the operation is categorically excluded from routine RF radiation evaluation, except as specified in sections 1.130C, C, and D of the FCC rules. You may want to make a note of those as you listen to the podcast or to the net tonight. Well, now, at this point, you should understand that this subject is broad and deep and takes some time to understand. Since there are several ways and many good charts to help you define your status of RF exposure and emission, allow us to make an alternative suggestion of a free, easy, and quick way to do the exposure calculations with an online calculator. The group at Lake Washington Ham Club, and we'll post that in the text box right now, I'll also say it verbally, http://www.lakewashingtonhamclub.org/resources/rf-exposure-calculator has made it easy for you. This is what they have to say. Resetting. The FCC has adopted guidelines and procedures to evaluate environmental effects of RF emissions. The new guidelines incorporate two tiers of exposure limits based on whether exposure occurs in an occupational or controlled situation or whether the general population is exposed to the RF emissions or exposure is in an uncontrolled situation, which, again, especially occurs with the general population exposure. In addition to guidelines for evaluating fixed transmitters, the FCC has adopted limits for evaluating exposure from mobile and portable devices, such as cellular telephones and personal computer devices. Resetting. To use the RF exposure calculator, fill in the form that is at that URL with your operating power, antenna gain, and the operating frequency. Depending on how far above ground the RF source is located, you might want to consider ground reflections, and then you click Calculate on the form. In the parameters on the form, you would enter the average power at the antenna. This is the transmitter's output power multiplied by the duty cycle of the emission mode. Typical duty cycles are, first, conversational single sideband with no speech processing. Use a 20% duty cycle, which includes voice characteristics and syllabic duty factor. Second case, conversational single sideband with heavy speech processing. Use a 50% duty cycle, which includes voice characteristics and syllabic duty factor. Third case, voice FM. Use a 100% duty cycle. Fourth case, FS key or RTTY, frequency shift keying or radio teletype. Use a 100% duty cycle. Next case, AFSK single sideband, use a 100% duty cycle. Next case, with conversational CW Morse code continuous wave, use a 40% duty cycle. And listed here for the last case, carrier always on, commonly used for tune-up purposes, that is a 100% duty cycle. Let me ask for help from any station if they could type in that URL for the Lake Washington Ham Club in the text box here on Echolink tonight. I would be very grateful for that help. This is the South Cars TIN in process for May 2021 dealing with RF exposure guidelines, calculations, limitations, and changes in regulations. That is being covered this evening. We're glad to have you with us. Let me reset the circuits, and we will continue. Now, on that form, you will enter the antenna gain in dBi. For a standard dipole, you will enter 2.2. If the antenna specification reports the gain in dBb instead of dBi, you'll add 2.2 to that value and then enter the sum. For the most accurate results, include in the gain value any feed line losses, which can be significant at VHF and UHF frequencies. Regarding controlled versus uncontrolled emissions, please take into account whether or not individuals are aware of the RF exposure or not coming from your station or the station under consideration. A controlled environment is an area where the persons exposed to RF are aware of the exposure and its effects. That is a controlled environment. An uncontrolled environment is an area where the persons exposed to RF are unaware of the exposure or the presence of the RF or of its effects. So the controlled versus uncontrolled environment is a major deciding factor in exposure analysis. Let me reset. For the effect of ground parameter, when checked, the effects of signals reflecting off the ground are included in the calculation. You may use the setting for low or non-directional antennas. This is a more conservative way of estimating RF exposure. Now, the JavaScript contained on that web page mentioned was derived from a public domain basic program written by Wayne Overbeck, N6NB, and published in the January 1997 issue of CQVHF on page 33, where terms of that website use the GNU license, the terms are governed by the GNU license. Let me reset. Now, you've heard me mention a lot of FCC exposures, guidelines, use of web pages, and controlled calculations. The takeaway from this is that we are now required to do an assessment of RF exposure, demonstrate by measurement or by, in our case, given our nature of our normal emissions, can usually be settled by a calculation method showing whether, through the calculation method, our RF emissions fit within a limit range that allows us to continue operation. If the determination exceeds the RF exposure limits, then it is required now by FCC regulation that we mitigate the damage and reduce our RF exposure to controlled or uncontrolled environments as appropriate and as governed by the results of the calculations that we put in on the form. In other words, check and make sure you're in compliance with the RF exposure limits. Let me reset. So this is the SouthCars May 2021 Thirsty Information Net dealing with RF exposure and guidelines and evaluations. At this point, then, allow me to turn this over to Dave, KB9EWG, to bring closure to this TIN. KB9EWG, good evening, Dave. Over to you, NO70.
Good evening, Kilo George, NO70, KB9EWG. And I see that the petrified one and myself both have shared that link you wanted shared in the text box there, so it's there now. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David in southwestern Wisconsin. As George NL70 has just got through saying, the subject can become very intense for those of you who that want to dive into the subject deeper. We have overviewed this evening. Please see the recommended internet sites we suggest for you to use for starters. Now, I'm going to give you a couple URLs here, but it's not necessary for you to write these down. These are shared on the website, and various emails have been shared with this URLs. And I believe that they will be included when they post the podcast for this evening's broadcast here, so our transmission. So anyways, the first URL that you might be interested in looking at, like I said, these are going to be shared. Don't need to copy them down now. There's plenty of access to these on the website and so on and so forth with the TI information here. So the first one is http://www.aidarl.org. That's files/technology, RF safety committee, RF plus exposure, plus and, plus U, plus, and it's a PDF file. Once again, that's on the website there. Just go over there and click on it. You'll bring up the URL. Second one is https://transition.fcc.gov/bureaus/oscar-echo-tango/info-documents-bulletins. That's another FCC document there. And, of course, there's the Lake Washington one that George had mentioned also. So those websites, you know, are shared on the website, on our website there. You can go find it pretty easily, and suggest take a look at those for more information. So once again, they'll be there for you to look at. At this point, do we have any last-minute comments or questions? If so, please call now. This is KB9EWG.
N070.
Good evening, KCFQV in Ohio.
Kilo, Echo, Zero, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Tango, Trucker Mike with a quick in and out. Thanks, guys. 73.
Okay, I've got George, KCFQV, and KE0FFT. George, go ahead there, please.
Well, Dave, it's been a pleasure to hear the information from all of the presenters tonight, and pleasure to be here. I have traffic for station Kilo Oscar 4, Papa Golf Papa, Lisa after net. If I could ask, want to confirm that membership, so I will call her immediately after the net is closed, and then the conference can be open after that, please. KB9EWG, NO70, over.
Well, I seem to be one that's going to be closing the net this evening, so I'll turn it right over to you when I do that, George. Thank you. KC8FQV, did you have any comments or questions there?
Yeah, good information. I'll go back and listen to it. Yeah, it does work out to have the links, and I think they'll get put probably into some type of a document on the site for a site mention. And I bet you say also you look on ARL, on the news lines and that, there's probably a lot of places where the information has been posted. And the other thing is, I'm wondering, you know, what stations that are in, you know, using the nano nodes, micro nodes, HTs, I wonder how effective they're going to be by the RF exposure. I mean, we know cell phones and everything else has got RF exposure, but I wonder how far, how sensitive they're going to be to the whole thing. KCFTV, back to the net control.
Well, all the information is there on the website there, on the, especially on the page talking about the TIN tonight. The links are all there, and of course they will be shared when they send out the podcast as well. Thank you there for your check-in, and we had KE0FFT. Did you have any comments or questions for the net this evening?
No comments this evening. Thanks so much for running the net, though. It's good to listen to it as I'm driving in the truck on my way down to Kentucky from Illinois. And I just thought I'd say hello to everyone. And thanks for the information. I'll be looking for those websites on the SCARS website later on. So thanks so much. Have a good night.
NO70 regarding his question on the mobile stations. NO70 over.
Go ahead there, George.
Thank you, sir. Regarding Casey at FQV's question regarding the mobile operation, or HTs, in general, they're, as mentioned earlier in the program, they're considered to be very short, intermittent, and very limited exposure. It still is good practice to go ahead and do an evaluation, but in general, they're considered to be such short and intermittent exposure risks, especially given the portable nature and travel patterns of such portable devices, that it's much less of a concern of RF exposure compared to fixed station. Thank you, sir. KB9EWG, NL70, over.
Thank you, George. Good information and well worth sharing. And KE0FFT, thank you for your participation and check-in this evening. As a former truck driver myself, I want to wish you a safe journey there. Take it easy and mobile easy. It says KB9EWG with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Does anybody else have any questions or comments before we move on to closing the net down here?
Kilo Charlie 3, Romeo Lima November, standing by.
KC3RON, go ahead there, please.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I heard this correctly. So mobile and handheld devices would be excluded from the evaluation. I often have set up portable, so I'm kind of a base station and I'm kind of a mobile station. Same rigs, same power, same everything. The only thing that changes is my antenna that gets set up portable at 60 feet in the air versus my mobile antenna. Is that, I just want to make sure I heard everything correctly. I was just trying to jot some stuff down on my notepad here. Is that still considered for an evaluation? Over.
Well, as George said, mobile handhelds are, you know, considered, you know, low enough power and intermittent enough that might not be necessary. But maybe to keep yourself in compliance, that'd be one anyways, is the recommendation there. Go ahead.
Yeah, copy. Sounds good. Yep, I just wanted to make sure that I wrote this information down correctly. Thank you for the time. KC3RLN, back to the net.
NO70.
Go ahead, there, George.
Well, since the portable device has become stationary, even with a low power limit, it would be most likely in best practices to go ahead and do a calculation for that station. I understand you mentioned that the power and antenna would be the same. The difference to my mind, and it would require a closer reading of Bulletin 65, so I cannot give you an authoritative answer tonight. However, I would suggest that because the portable unit has become non-portable, it could be arguably considered fixed station, especially if there are members of the public close by, as there may be in, for example, field day with visitors and so forth. In that case, that is an uncontrolled situation, which puts it into a very different category. And if it is an uncontrolled situation, the evaluation is required. So just to be on the safe side, once you stop moving, start calculating would be the thought I would think, at least for my peace of mind, for my station would do. But maybe there might be some people who worked on this topic that are available for more comment on it. I hope that helped to answer the question. Back to net control, NL70, over.
Well, that would be my thought also, George. Good thoughts there. I mean, we can discuss this all night back and forth and try to, you know, nitpick what limits are what. You know, best advice at this point would be, go to the website here, you know, carswipe.com, that's CARSUIP.com. Find the links that we've been talking about, click on them, and take a look and read it for yourself. You know, that could definitely answer the questions there. Just go to the website and look at the links. The information's there. Go look it up and take a look. But I say, you know, we could discuss this all night, but that doesn't continue with the TIN here, so. Anyways, anybody else have any questions or comments or anything else before I move on with the TIN? This is KB9EWG, Net Control.
Romeo Fox Juliet with a comment.
Chief, good evening, and go ahead with your comment, please.
Yeah, I want to stress a point here. You know, the FCC has set guidelines for us to evaluate how our stations are set up, and from a personal standpoint, it's all about personal safety. So, you know, you don't want to set your antennas up right next to your station while you're running field day and run power levels that are going to have a possible effect on your operating safety or your RF exposure. So I think what I'd like to suggest is that everybody take this information and go over it and make it part of your routine. You know, if you're operating emergency out in the field, you need to take into account where your antennas are, what kind of RF exposure you're going to have. That should be a common thing that you do to ensure that you've got a safe operation up and running. That's my comment from the desk of W4RFJ here in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Back over to you, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. W4RFJ.
Yeah, well, I would echo that comment there. You know, the guidelines are there. Go take a look. You know, make sure within compliance there. I mean, you throw that mag mount on the file cabinet with a 25-watt radio sitting 5 feet away from you there. You know, how much exposure are you getting at that point? So, yeah, you know, it's all there for our safety. We want to make sure we are safe and within guidelines. So the links are there. Take a look. The information's there. And, of course, this will be in the podcast, this whole thing tonight. So anything else before I move on here? This is KB9EWG. Anybody else with any comments or questions for the net? Okay. Well, guys and girls, I guess this will be it for this evening. Thanks for coming and coming by, and good luck with your evaluations there. The server is now going to be returned to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG saying 7-3. Everybody have a good evening, and I'm going to turn it over to George, NL70, so he can pick up a new South Stars member, we hope, there. George, it's yours, KB9EWG.
Well, thank you, David. Again, thank you to everyone who attended tonight for the South Stars TIN. Let me give a break for recordings to stop.